Hello and welcome to Bringing Education Home. I'm Herb.
And I'm Christina. And together we bring you ideas that help shape families into the healthy, happy, successful families that they can be, but that are both inside
and outside the box. If you like the show, be sure to follow Christina on Facebook.
And please leave us a like and a comment on your favorite podcast platform.
Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Marshall Live. Now, this is going to be a different kind of an episode because Marshall is our co-host today, and he is going to be interviewing us about a recent Iboga journey that we both went on. And you know what? There's a lot of information, and we'll just like toss it over to Marshall right now and let's get started. Marshall, welcome to the show and thank you for agreeing to host today.
Oh my gosh, you guys, thank you so much for having me here. Like how fun, right? Personally off the air and behind the scenes, you know, we've become very close friends and are very involved in what's going on in each other's life week to week, it seems like. And so Coach, you and I have been talking about plant medicine since the day we met, right? Like you came to one of my boot camps and I watched Herb do this. Into the listeners who know, if you know, you know. And one of my speakers was kind of having this meltdown. He was having a meltdown. And I watched Herb, who I didn't know at the time, walk across the yard and up this hill. And he started doing this energy work to my friend and one of the speakers. And I watched literally the anxiety and like dissipate from his body. And even he turned around and was like, nobody's ever done that fast. And that was when I knew that Herb had something very special that I had to know more about. And so Herb, to be here, Christina, to be here with you too on your podcast that you launched like 27 years as a teacher, you know, like now we're doing podcasts and coaching people on plant medicine, truly, truly an honor. So we're going to get into this Iboga journey. If you are listening right now, we're going to uncover more of the story. I'm just going to tell you this right now, hit subscribe to the podcast, because if you don't finish this episode in one sit down, you're going to want to come back to it. All right. Because I have the questions about what the heck is freaking going on with Iboga. So we're going to get into it right now. But the first thing I got to say, and the last thing I got to say actually to the audience, is I'm a 5-time college dropout. Okay. So I don't always catch on the fastest. So I'm going to ask all the questions because I need to know and get to the bottom of what's really going on with the Iboga journey. So first and foremost, Coach, yes. What is Iboga? What is the Iboga journey? Are you guys like wearing like, I don't know, leaves and dancing around in the jungle and like getting high, or I don't understand what's going on here?
Iboga is the root bark from an African tree. I believe it's called tabernath. And the story behind it is a hunter killed a beaver, and which was the favorite food of the Bwiti tribe, and he brought it home to his wife, and she cooked it up and ate it, and she started talking to her ancestors and had this really interesting journey and brought it back to her husband, and the husband took it to the elders of the tribe, and they went back to where the beaver had been eating, and they found out it had been eating this root. And so they took that root, and the elder went to his wife, the chief went to his wife and said, okay, you have to eat this. And she's like, what? He's like, well, it happened to a woman, so a woman has to do it. And so she did.
Dang.
Yeah, right? And so she did, and she had the same experience. She got heavy, she sat down, she started having visions, and the medicine talked to her, and it became... And then it was like for the men too. And then it became a central part of that, of the Bwiti tribe's religion and practices, and they incorporate into pretty much their daily lives. And so over the course, they found out some other healing properties that it had, and they started expanding it, and other people came to find them. And so this tree root is what Iboga is. And an interesting thing about it is they isolated the strongest of the 14 parts of it that are the psychedelic part. And the strongest is called ibogaine. And one of the things they found out about ibogaine is it actually helps reduce addictions. So if you have like an opiate addiction, a lifelong opiate addiction, with one session of ibogaine, and also it takes a little bit more with iboga, you can reduce your lifelong opiate addiction and get rid of all of the symptoms of it in one setting with it.
Wow.
And so that got people really interested in it. And now,
different groups are bringing it to the Western world.
Are bringing it to the Western world. Mm-hmm. And it they found out that it works really, really great with brain traumas and other kind of traumas, because it's an incredibly, incredibly personal medicine.
Right.
So many of the different psychedelics, you know, they take you out and you see like these beautiful visions and you like lose touch with yourself, like the disassociatives, like ketamine, they take you away from yourself. Ibogaine puts you inside of yourself, and it's incredibly personal, and it takes away your kind of mental blocks, and you go inside and you get to talk to you, and you get
right.
to uncover what's going on with you in a very, very personal, intimate way. And it helps you get through your own traumas. It helps you cut through your own kind of garbage that's going on. And then you can start finding ways to heal. So again,
well, that's a really great place to start. So let me ask you then, Herb, because that's one of probably the main questions that people are going to have after hearing about what it is that you guys are doing, the journeys you're going on, the way that you're using plant medicine. It's like there's so many, and are they all different, and how do they all work? Okay, so I have some very specific questions I want to ask you, Herb. It's very fascinating about how these things were discovered, and I think each of the plant medicines have their own folklore or story or myth or whatever behind how it was found. And so I want to dig into that here specifically in one second, but I want to throw it to Christina real quick. So Herb has done this multiple times. How many journeys have you gone on with iboga before?
This one only. And
so this was the first time for you.
First time, exactly. And for a very specific reason.
Well, let me ask you then, because for a lot of the women who are watching it, definitely vice versa, but in my life, there's a lot of men who are understanding what Herb is saying on the healing properties of the medicinal properties of using plant medicine, even ceremonially, especially, right? The way that it's always been designed, which we're going to get into that in a second. But you don't see as many women always coming up alongside them. And so, you know, you've watched Herb, Christina, do this for years now. I mean, he's gotten certified. I mean, this is what he does. He coaches people how to get through these experiences, right? And how to integrate. So what finally made you decide, like, okay, I'm going for it right now after all these years and all this time?
Well, the thing that really pushed me to the point of knowing is that after watching him and knowing what benefit he was getting from the plant medicines, and then looking at where I was in my life, starting a new business, leaving my old career, doing something completely outside of what I usually am like, I knew I needed some help to get past those barriers that I was blocking up against and to really get myself out there. Plus, I had my own trauma from my earlier life that I wanted to make sure that I was able to put aside and lay down and not have that also impacting me anymore.
Yeah. I just want to say to all the listeners right now, and definitely to any of you viewers or listeners who actually personally know Christina, it's such a testament to one, who you are and how much conviction you have in what you believe in. But hearing the raw vulnerability in your voice and where you're at right now, it just further like validates like that it's so important, these journeys that you're going on and what you're sharing, because you truly have this belief in what it is you're building, Christina, and you're living at the edge of everything that you're capable of. And there are so many people in the world alone, but I talk about women, and I talk about women of a certain age where it's like, they've just given up that, hey, there's any hope or there's any reason I should dream. And like, you live that every single moment. And so totally off topic, totally away from the episode, but I just see you, girl. And it's amazing. And I just say, if everybody's here, I'd say, yeah, Christina, we'd all be clapping for you. But truly, let's get back to it, because you're right. We're not going to make, it's not about me, but in my experiences with plant medicine, I was called to it. And I know that you both realize that, but to all the listeners, if you're wondering, you know, is plant medicine right for me? And like, the medicine calls to you. You will know when it's time. You will know when it's time to take action and find the right outlet. Okay. So we're going to share some of that at the end of the episode on like, if that is where you're at, we'll talk about like how you can find the right outlets, where to go, what to do, how to keep it legal, how to keep it safe, how to make sure you're actually benefiting from it. But I want to get back to Herb real quick. Because I know her, but you and I can go down a rabbit hole on this. But our listeners are pretty smart. So I want to know what your opinion is and why so many of these ancient proven practices have been hidden from society for so long. I mean, we have the land of giant pharmaceuticals and Western medicine, which, you know, if your leg is blown off or you need some kind of, like, I get, awesome. But we're talking about from a straight, allowing the body to flow, allowing the body to heal itself. All these plant medicines from the inside out are showing us how we can literally, like, hack the game. So in your opinion, Herb, and I have a couple more questions specifically about plant medicine, but why do you think that this has been hidden for so long? And why do you think, second part of the question is, that indigenous tribes around the world are only now allowing more of the Western world society in on these practices? Like, what do you think is going on here?
You talked about rabbit holes, and that is a huge one. There is the pharmaceutical industry. There is the you can't control an informed population. And if people are sick and tired, then it's a lot easier to control them. And the reason this is coming out now is the world absolutely needs it. Our world is in shambles. There's so much drug addiction. There's so much abuse. There's so much trauma. And people don't understand how to get out of it. And our Western model and the way we go about it isn't working. If antidepressants worked, then people wouldn't be on them for their whole life, and it wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar industry. There are more and more people going on to antidepressants every year. And so that is part of it. And, you know, the other part of it is it's not just the medicines. It's not just the plant medicines. It is the ceremony that's important. It is the preparation and integration. Because, you know, people at raves, they go out and they take LSD and they take ecstasy, which is MDMA. They take lots of psychedelics, and then they just go party, and they're not doing it in a way that is designed to go inside and work on themselves and work on the trauma.
Right.
So part of it is also the party culture. And so the reasons and the methods for taking that has also been hidden. And so now that the world is in such a shambles, and it is a global problem at the moment, because what's happening now could affect the whole world with the stuff that's going on and the types of control that the powers that be are exerting.
Yeah.
These medicines are aware. These medicines have spirits associated with them, and those spirits are actually coming.
Right.
Like, hey, the people need to come back together. The people need to fix themselves, because the planet is one thing. You know, like, a body is so many different kind of organisms that have come together to live in harmony and to create this thing. And the earth is also the same thing. It's like the earth is all of us. I'm part of the earth as well. And so these plant medicines, these spirits of the medicines, see that the earth is in danger and it's a problem. And so it's trying to reach out to the humanity and to
bring you're so right.
back together to heal the earth. So we're not just healing ourselves. As each person heals ourselves, we heal our community, we heal our families, and that brings a healing to the community, and that brings a healing to the greater community, and that actually brings a healing to the planet as we grow into these consciousnesses that are more beneficial and helpful to us.
You just said that so incredibly beautifully. You're absolutely right. And to everybody that's listening, first and foremost, I know that they said it should also be said, you know, out loud, that I'm just a regular dummy. I don't know anything. I'm not an expert on this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm nobody, nothing, right? So these are just my personal experiences and an open conversation I'm having with a coach and dear friends of mine, okay? So what I noticed, and I just want to say real quick, Herb, is that my experience with plant medicine started with mushrooms, and I felt called to it, right? And then there was a series of other things that happened. But you're absolutely right. Like, I never experimented recreationally or party wise ever with psychedelics, because I was always just afraid of them. Now, I think you would agree, and to all the listeners and the viewers, same thing. It's like, if you watch how society has programmed psychedelics in the mainstream media or via movies, it's always that, like, they make it like weird. Like, oh, the weird yoga person. Oh, you do yoga? Oh, the weird matcha tea person. Oh, the psychedelic hippie, like, who's just burnout, man. And it's like, they have positioned it in our society to make it look like, hey, you're just some loser if you try psychedelics. And then so the way that people show up and try psychedelics is in this very recreational way. And I didn't know anything about this until 2019. And so I just want to say one thing, and I'm going to throw it back here to Christina. To the viewers and listeners, a lot of you are smart, and a lot of, not all, I don't want to say, I mean, you guys are smart. That doesn't disqualify the other people. A lot of you are tracking with what we're talking about here, and you understand this. To those of you who are listening, who are feeling a little bit challenged, and like, what are we like, in the conversation we're having about energy and just in general, I'm just going to tell you, I grew up on a farm. I'm very like, show me. Like, show me the science behind it. Like, show me. That's how I've always been, or I won't believe it. I'm definitely different now. The thing that shifted my mind, because I'm a smart person, just like each and every one of you, is when I was reminded that if you had a powerful enough telescope and you microscope and you zoomed in telescope to you, right? The macro and micro. Yeah. If you had a powerful microscope and you zoomed in on the human body, you would literally look right through it. Because of the 50 to 70 trillion cells that make up our body, they're not connected. They're not even touching. There's no wires or nothing. It's just all these things that are congealed right here as us. And that was the first time when I was like, oh, dang, like, what is going on here? So Herb, I want to ask you, how does somebody know, like, what is the feeling? How do they know? We keep talking about you'll be called to it, but how does somebody know when they're called to it?
You know what? I'm actually going to hand that over to her because she watched me do it. I went through it because I had hurt my head. My life was falling apart. I got really depressed. I was wanting to end it all. And so I did it through desperation. And that is one of the two paths that people come to plant medicine. So, and the other one is
inspiration. And that's kind of where I came from. So watching Herb's journey, watching to see him develop and grow and change, to move away from wanting to hurt himself, from being so just depressed and unsure of himself to becoming more and more sure of himself and seeing the change that was made, I actually came to it from inspiration. So I'm like, if the medicine can make those kinds of changes in him, what kind of changes could it make for me? And those changes in a way that would benefit the other people that I'm trying to reach. So if I'm more confident in myself, if I can put down the shame, the guilt, the, you know, the regret that I had, and then be able to put myself forward in helping other people, what can happen there? And so my inspiration was him, his changes, but then also seeing what kind of changes I could make, because now I can tell myself I love myself. I've never been able to do that before. I can know that I don't have to be regretful. Granted, you know, if I hurt somebody, I want to make amends, but I don't have to carry that regret and make it hold me back anymore. The guilt of different things. I have set down the guilt again, making amends for somebody I've hurt, but I don't have to carry that guilt farther because, like, I've made peace with it. I'm done. Now it's time to help other people and be in the space I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, 100%. And so would you say then, because I totally agree, that was my experience as well, right on. So I know that I kind of, how about for you? What's the experience been like? We'll get into the specific experience here in a second, but Christina, like, you know, as this emotion is bubbling up, like what would you say? You know, you're going, okay, well, I'm able to say I love myself. Is what we're seeing and hearing right now, is that just like so much stored emotion over the years, finally just being able to release? Or how would you explain what's happening in your life now, you know, since the journey?
Yeah. So yeah, what I'm sharing is in a little bit of trepidation because we're in uncharted area here. I'm talking about these kinds of medicines is nothing that I've ever been associated with.
Good point.
Through Herb. So a little bit of like, oh, are people going to judge me for this? But at the same time, that emotion, like you said, kind of pent up. It's like, you know, I've had all of this stuff. And the fact that I feel so much better that I'm able to go through things that I haven't been able to go through before, the fact that I found worth in myself again that I thought I had lost because of just different things that happened throughout my life. So yeah, all of the things you're hearing in my voice, excitement, a little bit of trepidation, like I said, but then also, like I said, that release of I'm good and I can move forward. This is going to be good for people who take it seriously, do it the right way, and really are called to it.
So it sounds like what you're saying then is it really is kind of giving you control over your estate management in the end. It, would you say that a lot of people would never try this. You're saying I used this to kind of get out of my own way so I could love myself. So where have you noticed that like different now? Like, are you saying that challenges don't exist, or like, and it's like some magic pill, or are you saying that like you're just handling challenges different? Like, explain that to me, because what is this thing?
That is a perfect question because challenges absolutely still exist. Matter of fact, we got home from our journey and a whole bunch of family issues hit us. And so we've been pushing through and challenging ourselves to handle all of those things. The biggest change is that knowing, having more confidence in myself and then knowing how to handle things differently. So before I would get depressed and sad because I wasn't making the gains I wanted to. I wasn't doing the things I really wanted to in my business or the way I was relating to other people. And I always piled on more guilt. And now it's like, okay, stop that. You are worth what you're feeling, and you know that you can make those changes. So being able to address that, I'm still happy. Even though I might not be doing everything I want to do, but I know inside of me I'm truly happy and I'm truly able to make myself move forward, help myself move forward. So I hope that explained
No,
it.
that's excellent.
Address that magic pill first before we go on from that. And
Yeah, please.
first, there is no magic
There
pill.
is no magic
There
pill.
is no magic pill. None of these medicines are going to do the work for you. So even now what's going on, so while the results might be magical, okay, the medicine itself is not, because we are the medicine. What these medicines do, and especially iboga, is it takes you inside and it helps you look at yourself, and it helps you release some of these things that don't need to be there anymore. But then it also shows you where and how you need to work on yourself. So it's not that we took this pill and yay, she's all better. It's like, hey, we took this pill and this is the thought process that brings you down. And how can you interrupt that thought process? And what are some tools that you can use to put into place so that when these things come up, you have a way to deal with them instead of burying them in your backyard, instead of burying them in your soul, where that crap piles up on top of your inner you, and suddenly you can't hear your inner you anymore because of all of this garbage you put on top of it. So they help you dig yourself out and be able to find the real you inside, and then be able to start listening to you instead of all of the stuff coming from outside of you. So that is not a magic pill, but it's the, like I said, the results are magic, but it gives you the shovel to
Gives you
dig
the
yourself
space.
out.
Beautifully. I love that. And I have a, because what to me, Herb, and this is a distinction I want from you, that sounds like ayahuasca, So I want to ask that specifically here in a second. But I'll just say to the listeners and the viewers, the way that I perceived it is that when I used plant medicine, which I've only done 3 times still in whatever, 4 years from the first time. But what it did for me is it took me, it broke me through my limitations and barriers, and it took me to a place that I didn't even know existed in my mind and in my soul. And then when I quote unquote came back, I was now aware that that state and way of being existed because I was never able to see past my limitations. So I'm not saying that we're not saying like, hey, go take this and it's all better. It's like, hey, yo, it's going to show you your happy place. It's going to show you where you are, what true alignment looks like. And then it's going to take you back through the crap as it closes back up again. And the job I feel like is to do the work to understand, hey, when these challenges and circumstances are coming at you, when you're experiencing life and the duality and contrast of this beautiful thing, that you understand that it's neither here or there. It's neither real or nothing. And it's like, that's the whole secret. But Herb, let me ask you this. What is the difference between ayahuasca and iboga? Because what you're explaining to me is basically how I would explain an ayahuasca journey to somebody.
Well, I've done both. And so when I did ayahuasca, it numbed me. It took me kind of away from myself. And it gave me a different kind of a view. And there was a lot of body feelings. There was different kind of visual stuff that was happening. And during my ayahuasca ceremony, a lot of stuff happened. And for the next, and I hated it. I did not like it at all. And when I left my ayahuasca ceremony, it's like, man, I'm never doing that again. It was horrible. I actually did throw up a lot when I did ayahuasca. And for me, I describe it as throwing up in slow motion for 4 hours. Okay. Now throwing up on ayahuasca is different, way different than throwing up like with the flu or being drunk, because there is a purging. I mean, your toes, your feet, your legs, your calves, every part of you gets involved in that because there's something that needs to come out. And you can get up on ayahuasca, you can walk around, you can kind of step yourself out of it, but there is other things going on. And then for the next 2 weeks after my ayahuasca journey, the stuff that was going on kept popping up, and it took me weeks to unpack all of the stuff that happened. Okay. Iboga is a lot more different. Iboga is incredibly, incredibly personal and intimate with you. Mm. The root part of it is it puts your body into a state of sleep. So it's like, it's very difficult to move. If you want to get up and walk around, somebody actually has to help you move because your body doesn't move. But it wakes your brain up and it puts you into a waking dream state.
Yeah.
So, and then what it does is it gets the garbage out. And so for me, I was able to separate my mind and my body and myself. And so part of the ceremony is you go looking for yourself. And so I found my little self sitting on my couch in my house, and I sat next to myself and I talked to myself. And but what I had to do before that is I had to talk to my brain, because my brain has been so used to being in charge of my life for so long. And your brain has never meant to be in charge. Your brain is supposed to be the secretary, because your brain lies to you. Your brain is designed to take in all of the information and then think about something. And so some of the stuff that it thinks about isn't true. And some of it is true, because it takes all of this stuff. It's like, hey, what about this thought? Hey, what about this thought? Hey, what about this thought?
Yeah.
So now what I do when that stuff happens is I ask my soul, my little person inside, and it's like, so this thought, do I want to identify with it? And part of the Bwiti method is there's this truth seeking tool that they use. And it's like, how many of your senses agree with what you're thinking? So for instance, if you see a pot of water over there and it's bubbling, you could say, oh, hey, that water's hot. And it's like, that's a thought. But now what other senses can you use to check the validity of that? It's like, well, I can hear the bubbling. So there's this, I can see it. I can go over and I can smell the steam, because steam has a different smell. I can touch the pot and I can feel it's, the pot is hot. I can actually stick my finger in the water and it's like, yeah, that's hot. So I have multiple senses that validate the thought that water is hot. But then let's go like with a thought like, I am unworthy. Okay. Where does that thought come from? Can you see unworthy? Can you taste it? Is there a feeling? And it's like, there aren't any of your senses that tell you that I'm unworthy. So that is just a thought. And so is that thought true? No. Where do people get their worthiness? Well, I'm worthy because I'm a child of God. Right? So you see like a drug addict on the street, sleeping on the street. Is that person worthy of love, of worthy of being a human? Absolutely. Why? Because they're there. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're worthy. So that thought that I am unworthy doesn't have any truth to it, because you can't touch it, taste it, feel it, see it, sense it in any other way. It's just a thought. And so you can let go of that thought and not hold on to it. But if your soul is covered up with all of the garbage and all of the, and you don't have these tools and your brain thinks it's in charge, then that unworthiness can become a central focus. And it's like, oh, why am I unworthy? And if you start thinking that, then your brain will automatically start jumping up lots of reasons that also aren't true as to why you are unworthy. And so, you know, I can sense that the water's hot. I can't sense my unworthiness. But how can I sense my worthiness? How do I know that I'm worthy? Well, I can touch, I can taste, I can see, I can feel. All of these things means that I am human, created in the image of God, and that makes me worthy. So the fact that I have senses, that I am human, that I am alive, I am worthy. And so that kind of thought. So this medicine in particular is great at that, because it goes through and it can cut that garbage out. It separates your mind. It separates your soul. It separates your body. And then you can talk to yourself and get answers. And it's so interesting the way that works. We'll probably get to that in a little while. So,
yeah, that's awesome. It's fascinating, right? It's fascinating, all these things that are available to us. And it doesn't have to be plant medicine. Like the exercise that effects you just shared with us, anybody can do that, right? Anybody can learn something simple like box breathing. Like these are, anybody can take off their shoes and socks and go stand with their bare feet on the ground and close their eyes and take 10 deep breaths and go, oh my God, there's something that I just feel better. Like that's available to everybody. But it seems like we're so constantly and purposely distracted and driven to feed these addictions that keep us trapped.
Yeah.
That, you know, people, it's like, and I'm not saying any of these listeners would, but it's like the same people that would, you know, pop a Xanax to get through the day, or their kids are on whatever antidepressant, are the people that want to usually judge something like using plant medicine. It's like, it makes me sad, because all that anger and frustration and fear and scarcity and doubt that a lot of people feel, it's instantly dissipated when you are using the correct medicines ceremonially the correct way. And I want to get into that here in just a second, because I think that's what the most important thing is. Like, yeah, anybody can, what's that?
So one thing that you said that I wanted to kind of put in there is, yes, you can know that. But one of these things that these medicines do is they give you the experience of it. And that is such a different thing. So one of the things that happened to me is, for all my life, I've heard that you can choose happiness. You know, my mom had this little book when I was a kid that was like 4 pages long, that was basically says, choose thy love, love thy choice. And so it's like, you can choose to be happy. But what does that mean? And when I went into this medicine, I asked about that, and I got the experience of being able to choose to be happy. And I can now, even in times of sadness and stuff, choose to be happy. It doesn't mean that I'm not sad, but then I'm still also happy even when I'm sad, which sounds really weird. But once you get that experience of it, instead of it just being a mental game, then you can embody it, because you have that experience, and it changes those from words into something that you can live.
Yeah, that's really well put. You know, that's was probably one of the biggest changes in my whole life, is when I fell in love with the contrast of life. Like when I got to a point where I realized that the contrast of life is what made everything so beautiful, you know, the pain and all the things. But you do, you have to have an experience usually to be able to understand that. And it could certainly be a near-death experience, absolutely. Which still, you could argue that the brain secretes, DMT to prepare you for that next phase. And so it's one and the same thing almost, right? So anyways, I'm not a doctor or scientist, so I'm just a dummy on the internet interviewing my two very good and qualified friends. But let me ask you this thing, Christina. So let's get into this actual journey. Yeah. You know, give me the lead up. Like, what's this look like? Is there a setup or a pregame, or like, how do you get ready for this?
The way you get ready for it is really knowing that it's calling to you. So curiosity is not a great way to get into this. You need to know what you're doing. And so for me, like I said, watching Herb's journey, but also I've been following another close colleague of mine and watching his journey and what he's doing with veterans and things like that. And that helped inform me about the medicine and about what might happen while I'm there. Then also we had some pre-calls with the providers of the medicine, and they told us kind of what to expect, what to think about, really get yourself aligned with some questions that you want to get answered or some things that you really want to kind of sort out while you're there on the medicine. So there is definitely a pre-game, an in-game, and a post game. You want to make sure you're hitting all three of those steps, because otherwise the journey is not going to benefit you as much as it could.
And how long did you guys go for, Christina?
We were actually at this retreat for 7 days, right? And during those 7 days, we had two ceremonies. So in the Bwiti tradition that Herb was talking about, they do two ceremonies almost back to back. So you go, you get there, you get ready for the first ceremony. Then the next day you're processing, which is basically a day of sleeping and thinking and total processing. And then you have an integration day where you kind of get out, move around, see how things are doing. Then you're back into ceremony the next night. And then you do that again, ceremony, processing, integration. And then we were allowed, or not allowed, but it was time for us to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Herb, let me ask you, do you have to go for 7 days and two ceremonies? Like what if somebody doesn't have 7 days, but they want to try a boga, you know, they want to do a ceremony and stuff, but like, does it have to be 7 days and two ceremonies, or how does, what's the story with that?
There are different ways to do it. The Bwiti tradition of 7 days is found to be one of the most effective, because the first ceremony is a detox. So you're getting a lot of stuff out of you in the first place and preparing you for the second journey. The second journey goes a lot deeper, a lot more into what you're doing. So that way of doing it, I found very, very beneficial. When I did my ibogaine treatments, they also were a week long, but there was only one ibogaine ceremony. And there was like breath work going into it. There was the ibogaine ceremony, which was overnight. Then there was the next day. And then the day after that, we did 5-MeO-DMT, which is the toad medicine, or
right. You know,
outside of the toad, they call it the pure molecule, so they can synthesize it now. And that helps you get out of the gray day, is what they call it, puts you more in touch. It's called the God molecule. It puts
kinda you like warms,
in
a really yeah.
interesting state, and that kind of brings you farther along than, so there's two different ways to do it, but iboga itself, the commitment to do it, if you ingest it, it's at least 2 days long, because yeah. it's the longest
acting
one. The first night you're on the floor for like 9 to 10 hours, and then the integration day afterwards, even when we went and laid down, it was still really difficult to move. You're dizzy when you have to get up and move around, you're like holding on to stuff. So it's not just like you go take it and then you're done and then you just walk around. It is,
yeah.
Especially iboga is a commitment.
Yep.
That's interesting. You know, so basically what I hear you saying is no half measures. Like if you're going to do it, you might as well do the traditional ceremonial way, let the medicine interact with the ceremony the way it's supposed to, in line with the earth, the way it's supposed to be, and all the things, right? Like if you're going to do it, invest the time and the energy to do it the right way. And I think that you guys would say that about anything in life. So Christina, here's the most important question. I think that maybe some of the viewers and listeners are wondering is what did you pack? Like what did you put in your suitcase?
Oh, yoga pants, sweatshirts, soft clothes, because we were literally at the retreat center, except for one day that we went out for quote unquote regular clothes. So you have really super soft things that you are comfortable laying around
super
in.
Super easy.
Yep.
How about you, Coach Herb? You packed your yoga pants too, yeah?
Hey, shorts.
Shorts and sweats. The tradition is you're laying down on the floor close to the ground, because it is a root medicine. It's grounding. So the ceremony is you're lying on the floor, and
have to be comfortable.
And you have to be comfortable.
That makes sense.
Not comfortable, and you know the results might be miraculous. But the actual ceremony, the time under the medicine, it is not a fun time. It is not it is not an enjoyable process. You know, some of them like MDMA, where you feel love and you can talk and you're just up, like it's called ecstasy for a reason. Even sometimes mushrooms, if you're like out in the woods and you take it, you can walk around and interact with stuff and have like these amazing, awesome kind of seeing life moments. Iboga is not like that. It's again, it puts your body into a state of sleep. You can't hardly move. You're really heavy. It's really uncomfortable.
You're wide awake in the brain.
Right.
And thinking and reacting and moving. And things yeah. Inside.
And again, a lot of people, you know, get into that purgative state. So throwing up, I did it before. So I chose not to throw up. She did throw up. So she understood finally what I meant about how your toes
been slow motion.
About slowing and how your toes get involved, about how it's a complete body thing. Mm-hmm. And it sounds bad, but again, it's also such a clearing, interesting thing to go through. It is not like throwing up
with
the flu. It is so much more encompassing.
This has been a fascinating talk. Like I, you know, there's been so much into it and a lot more variables, I think, and a lot more to it than I think a lot of people realize when you say, oh, hey, I'm just going to go do this psychedelic journey. So for all the viewers and listeners, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you do that and leave us a review on the episode. Let us know what you think. Have you experienced this? Have you ever used plant medicine? Is it something that you're thinking about doing? Or do you think that we're the devils for talking about it? Whatever it is, go leave us a review. Let us know what you think and your thoughts are. So I'm going to finish up here, you guys, with a couple rapid fire questions for you. And because I have some things I'm wondering here. And Christina, first one is to you. Okay, so here you are. You're set up. You got your room. You're sat down. You're all prepped and you're getting ready to drink it for the first time. Do you have any second thoughts? Are you like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm going to get up. Or like, can you explain that to me? What was that like and how did you work through that?
I was very, like I used this word, very intrepidation. It's like, uh-oh, what did I really decide to do? Yeah, it was one of those things that I really had to really calm myself, center myself. Luckily, our guides were amazing. Whenever I expressed that, they're like, well, that's normal. You know, you're doing something that you've never done before. So, you know, just knowing that you can calm yourself and be ready and feel anxious, feel excited all at the same time.
But I can actually feel it, be it, and live it.
Yep.
I love that. Okay, well, let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot. Scale of 1 to 10. How was your experience overall in the journey and how would it and what you grew and took from it?
Probably an 8 because of course there were very uncomfortable times, like I said, purging, mm-hmm. throwing up, not my cup of tea, those kinds of things. Kind of being stuck. I hate being dizzy, but I got very dizzy. So those kinds of things made it kind of like an 8, but the rest of it, just the connection I felt, the care I was given, the information I was given, everything that I came out of it with was definitely worth it. Yeah.
I love that. And Coach, how about for you? You've done some plant medicine journeys for sure, but what was it like to experience this with your wife, with your bride? I mean, what was it like to go and do this together? What was that experience like for you and just going around? How was that different?
So I was thrilled that she went with me, and I've done a couple medicine journeys in groups before. And so I knew that I had to be concentrating on me. And I knew that she needed to do what she needed to do without me interfering. So I was able to separate and allow her journey without worrying about her because I knew she was going to be okay.
Mm.
And so I didn't get involved with her journey. I didn't push. I didn't ask questions because it was hers. And so I was able to just totally step back and just be amazed at what she was doing. And I got one question for her real quick. Would you ever do this again?
Right now, I would say no. I feel complete. I am fine. And the taste of the medicine, no, thank you very much. But that doesn't mean that later on down the road, I might not consider it again. But right now, no, I'm good.
That's a really good question, Herb. When I had my first plant medicine journey in 2019, I was good. I was like, it wasn't that it was bad. It was a trip, changed my life, but it was just like, I just can feel I'm not ready to plug back in yet. And I didn't plug back in for another 3 years. And that's the only other time I've tried it. So that's a very great question. Last thing I want to ask before we wrap this episode up, I think this is we're hitting a great spot. You know, people just getting finished with their drive or finishing up at the gym. And we really appreciate you being here. But Coach, last thing I want to ask you is, what does that even mean? Like you're a psychedelic integration coach. You know, I mean, that's literally this, that's your passions, what you live. You love helping people through this. What the heck is that? And why does it matter? Like, why can't I just go do the thing with the tribe, you know, follow the protocol, the sheet that they send me, and then come home? Like, what, why would anybody ever need a coach for something like this?
Oh, because, you know, things still come up and you need to be reminded. You need to be able to go back into that space on your own. So it's not just, hey, I'm done, I put it on the shelf. If you want to make the lasting changes in your life, if you get an integration coach and start working with them, then those things that you identified as, oh, hey, this is my where I need to work, they can help remind you of that. They can help give you tools. They can help get you into that place where you continue to do the work and you continue to grow. Because if you don't, if it's, oh, that was just an experience I had a year ago. Oh, that was just an experience I had 5 years ago. Oh, that now it's 10 years and you don't do anything about it. You don't grow your life from what you learned. Then you stay in the same place and you don't come out of the problems that you had. They just kind of start piling back up and you end up right back where you were. So without the integration process, you don't grow through what you through that experience. And if you're going to go through something like that, you want the benefits.
Bro, listen to all the listeners and viewers, whether it's Coach Herb or not, you guys are leaving so much magic on the table. If you don't have a mentor or a guide who can tell you like what how to integrate it post ceremony. I mean, yeah, but again, this is not something you have to do. I'm telling you, it's something you want to do. There's so much magic happening right after your journey. Like you have no idea. And it goes on maybe even for years, right? But it goes on and you are leaving so much magic and potential and just awesomeness on the table if you don't have somebody who can help you integrate that. And coach, I like I said, when I went through my journey, I floundered for 3 years until I met you. I didn't even know that was a thing. And so very, very cool. Well, this has been awesome. This has been really, really, I can't believe you guys invited me here. I hope that the viewers and listeners got some things out of it. As always, to all of you, you know that this show is sponsored by Vibrant Family Education. So Miss Christina changing the way that kids are learning and giving parents a new model for success and transforming the way that they're able to build their families and educate their kids as well as themselves. And I think it's a testament to your 27 years experience as a teacher and even more as a mother, what you've built and what this podcast has become because of that, and even giving us the opportunity to have these open conversations. And so I don't want that to be lost. Both of you are amazing. Thank you so much. And it's your show, so I'll let you guys close it out.
Well, basically, how we end our show is thank you for joining us. I hope you found some nuggets that will help you grow and change along the way. And make sure that you follow along. And thank you so much.
And thank you, Marshall, for being here, for asking the questions you did, because us just trying to talk about this ourselves, we kind of talk in circles. And so keeping us on point and your understandings and the way the questions you ask were just so fantastic. So thank you for being here. Thank you for hosting us today. And it was just awesome.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much and bye for now.